term commodities thrown around,
first of all, the commodity, what a commodity is it's something that is a product where each one of them is more or less interchangeable, right? So you go into someplace, you want 12 apples. Now, you might decide that you want to really pick and choose between the apples, but apples are apples and oranges are oranges. Eggs are eggs. You get 12 eggs. You get them in a carton.
Right.
They're all pretty much interchangeable. Those are commodities, products that are pretty much interchangeable with one another. One egg is like another egg.
Yeah, but the quality of them are...
So commodities might have differential qualities. So there's grade A eggs, there's grade A large eggs. They break eggs down into different commodities that are the grades of eggs. Grade A, grade double A, brown, large, brown, small. I mean, we're really into eggs here. But, you know, so you can see that eggs are a commodity, but there are different grades of that commodity, each one of which has been established so that everything within that grade of that commodity can be dealt with interchangeably. One grade A brown egg is the same as another grade A brown egg, essentially.
Yeah, so
same is true with coal, same is true with all kinds of oranges. You know, there might be grades that you'll buy, but everything within a grade is a commodity.
So in the commodity, speculation plays a big role. Is that how that's done?
Commodities are things that get produced, right?
And they get
produced over time. So that some commodities come pretty much right away, like coal. You take it out of the ground, but you build piles for it. But you don't use all the coal in one day, and you need to have, if you have a factory or if you have a power plant, you need to buy coal for out into the future, and you don't want to know what your coal is going to cost next year and the year after. You don't want to be surprised by that. So people will tend to buy coal a year out and 2 years out. They're speculating when they buy it at a price in the future, and the person who's selling it to them is speculating when they decide to sell it to them at a price in the future, because in that future time, the so-called spot market, the price that's being paid that day for coal purchased that day and used that day, might be higher or lower than what you've decided to pay for it out in the future.
So if you bought oil is a prime example.
Yeah.
So the gas prices were over $5. Yeah. Couple months ago.
Well, if you had a 1,000-gallon tank in your yard and you could fill it with gasoline, you might speculate, because when the price got down to $2.99 a gallon, you might say, you know what? I think this is about as cheap as gas is going to get. You call up the gasoline supply guy and you say, come fill up my 1,000-gallon tank. And you just bought 1,000 gallons of gasoline for $3,000. $3 a barrel,
right.
Or $3 a gallon. Now, if the price of gasoline goes up, now you were smart. If the price goes down from $2.99, you weren't so smart. But you speculated by deciding to lock in the price at $2.99. If you don't use any gasoline out of that tank, you're going to buy it from what's called the spot market. You're going to go out and buy it from the gas station down the road, and you'll pay whatever the day's price for gasoline is. And the day's price might be $4.99 a gallon like it is today, or it could 4 months from now be $2.95 a gallon.
So the reason why, I guess, that's so important, we're watching right now, as you predicted, these oil prices are starting to come down. And, you know, a month or so ago, it was $5,
right?
And now it's
$5.50, $5.40
somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, it was up and it's going down. It goes down a little slower than it goes up. Some of that has to do with the fact that people fill up their tanks, like the gas station fills up its big tank in the ground, and they've got a price that they paid for that gas, and so they want to recover that price from it before they drop the price below. They don't want to lose money for each gallon they sell, so that's going to form a floor for how rapidly they'll drop the price.
So that's why some of the service stations, you can see that their gas price is still higher than what you see other places. They're selling what they still have in the ground.
Well, they're doing that. They're also judging their market. They might have a local neighborhood market that comes to them because they're convenient, and a station that that has convenience sales is less likely to be strictly competitive on price. They're gonna charge something for their convenience. If you get close to a freeway, if you're at a truck stop, that's pretty competitive there. They're gonna charge whatever the lowest price is being charged for gas, so that they can sell the gas they've got. And that price of gas is a commodity, and it relates to the future price that was paid for the gas out there to the oil to convert to gas. But commodities are very volatile, and they're volatile because it's a question of supply and demand day by day. The day-by-day supply and demand for a product, for a commodity, sets the price of the commodity in the very short term, and then people set the price by future contracting for what they're going to pay for it out into the future. And you're speculating no matter what you do. You're speculating by buying it at today's so-called spot price, that day-to-day price, because you're thinking that it's not worth it to jump into the long-term market, or you don't have the ability to jump into the long-term market, but you're deciding that based on your circumstances.
So there is no crystal ball. All you can do is, you know, like you just stated. But so does it make sense for the American people to know those things? Does it help for the American people to know this is what the ins and outs of the economy and all those things?
Well, it definitely helps if you are a buyer of lots of stuff, or if you're a producer. I can guarantee you farmers know all about this, because they're in that business.
Right.
Oil stations know all about this because they're in this business, and they sort of understand it. The public, we aren't in a position to really so-called hedge. Hedging means to do something that can protect you from these changes. If you're in the American public and you simply buy groceries, you're going to go to there. You can only pay the day's price. If you're in the American public and you drive a gasoline-fired car, you can only pay this local day's price. So it doesn't help us to know a lot about it, because there's nothing much we can do about it.
You know, Sandy, I think the more, and I think maybe probably I'm concerned more so than I should be about the impending recession, because having, you know, lived through some and knowing this is coming, and just the price of things and just holding off on things, right?
Well, it definitely can be used. The knowledge about and white durable goods are not necessarily a commodity, but durable goods aren't as variable in price. But automobiles have obviously shown volatility. But certainly durable goods, cars, washing machines, dryers, things that you buy that will last for years, and which you can sort of decide when you're going to buy. You know, you can have a car and you can continue to fix it, or you can buy a new one. And buying the new one is a big lump payment. Fixing it is smaller payments. So you can decide about that. Same with a washing machine, a dryer, a freezer, a refrigerator. So all of those things have a timing aspect to it. And you can decide more or less when to buy it. Your wife can push you into buying a new car when it isn't necessarily smart to buy a new car.
Right.
Earl.
Come on, man.
Or you can wait. And that waiting would depend on your knowledge about the market and what's likely to happen to it.
Yeah, well, Sandy, I'm gonna take a deep exhale with that one. But you know, Sandy, I do know, man, just the value of the things that you bring to the table when we're talking about the things that the everyday citizen has to deal with and is looking at, because you've kind of been on the money with almost all these things. And I like to bring that kind of information to the listening audience, because we almost act like we're sheep and there's nothing we can do about these things. In many instances, there aren't, but you certainly should know that they're coming.
Yeah, I mean, currently, certainly people who are looking at durable goods should be interested in inflation and what inflation is today and what it's likely to be in the future. The problem is there's no crystal ball here. So in the 70s, people who were looking at trying to have a crystal ball were probably wrong because they thought inflation would slow down. It took a long time for it to slow down. But, you know, if I were in the market for a durable good now, I'd probably wait because this is a period of shortage. And the prices being bid for everything like that is probably at the highest point it's going
to
be.
All right, got to go to break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
We're living proof and all's alert that we're two from the good black church. And we're a winner. And everybody knows it too. We just keep on pushing. Like your leaders tell you to. At last that blessed day has come.